Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 93. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Is this on? Is this on?
Nate. It is now.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You had one job. Well, okay, second
job. We were
job.
Having technical difficulties beforehand, right?
Creepies, if you haven't noticed, Sean's back. Hey,
hey,
all right.
I am. Hello.
I was getting a weird noise. I had to turn it off.
Yeah, my mic.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
Doing all right?
When he turned my mic off, I was turning into Kevin Hart. What are you doing? Don't you hang up on me.
So you're alive. You made it.
I am.
You're back to normal-ish.
What's normal?
Apparently this.
My normal-ish is back, yeah.
Your excitement is back. Your energy, yeah.
Yeah. I told you I'm taking magnesium and ashwagandha. They make them in combination.
There's
pills
no need
now.
To call us names.
I know, exactly.
Osh gosh be gosh.
You watch your mouth. Yeah. You watch your mouth. No, but that magnesium, you had made that recommendation. Yeah. I used to take magnesium back in the day. It's been a minute. Yeah. So I thought, you know, I'm going to do that again.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good, though.
Good.
Yeah, I had a bucket of poo, I'll say that. A warm bucket.
Yeah, you had it for a while, didn't you?
Poo is how I'm going to say it.
At least a week, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still have a little bit of a lingering cough, but that is nothing compared to what it was. So I feel good.
Good. We are glad you are back.
I am too.
Nate
Thank you.
We had a fun time last week,
you
but
did.
It's
Amazing.
Never the same.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're all three back.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to re-record those, though, with me interjecting. No.
That's not going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
So who's been on the most episodes? Oh, yeah, that's me.
That's Nate.
We've each missed three. Nate.
Is that right? Has it been three apiece?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that we're keeping score.
And Nate is
100%
staple.
You don't hear me on the first two, but I'm there.
No, you're on the second one.
Yeah, you're on the second,
oh,
one.
It was the first one that you were mute.
Yeah.
So you only missed one, but you didn't miss it really. But
I was the talking mute.
Exactly, mute.
You were miming.
I mima mima.
Yeah. Nate, you doing all right?
Yeah, doing fantastic.
Fantastic. Good.
Coming up on Christmas and
yeah.
Just.
So who's hosting? Sean, you said you're hosting.
We are, if the weather allows. Right? Yep, the weather gods
Nate,
allow.
Nate, what do you do?
Christmas Eve, we go to my parents, and then Christmas morning, we do here, and then I think Christmas dinner, we go down to her Aunt Kathy's in Martinsville.
Oh, okay. Fun. Shout out Martin's Tucky.
Martin Tucky, yeah.
Good. Yeah, at least it's local. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We host Christmas Eve. It's on her mom's side. Her brother, she's the oldest of the two, but the oldest brother, he's having surgery, foot surgery or something. Anyway, so we celebrated with him last Sunday, and then, so we'll still have the other same crew.
And you called him or her, I was trying to figure out what kind of surgery we're doing. No, I was kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I know. Get your pronouns mixed up.
So we are supposed to have, Christmas Eve at our house. Supposed to. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
See what happens with the weather.
That's right.
We're going to do 2 o'clock church service. And then
Snowmageddon coming, right?
Yeah.
Wind said, and really cold weather, right?
So they said on the Weather Channel, strong winds, mm-hmm. 30 to 50 miles an hour, depending on where you're at,
mm-hmm.
and minus 30 windshield.
Yeah. Right? That's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Now, and my mom and I were talking last night, but they weren't saying any accumulation. Now they're saying 3 to 6 inches on top of the wind and the cold. I'm like, well, that's great.
And it's going to be a freezing rain transferring over
right.
Mm-hmm. snow.
That'll
right.
be the not fun part.
Yeah.
Starting at 5 o'clock in the evening,
rush
going
out,
to like 2 or 3 in the morning Friday, but I'm off Friday.
I told them I may or may not be in.
It's not worth
Friday.
Killing yourself.
Yeah.
I had the day off anyway, but still it sucks because I've got my cleaning business and I was going to clean and
all
this.
Well, schedule something, then cancel it. Then you'll feel even better that you're not working Friday.
the hospital has.
I need to figure something out.
The hotel, they're calling it Hotel Hospital or Hotel Hendrix, technically, where you can stay the night there or get.
Oh yeah,
they'll make sure you work, but you get a bed.
Man,
have to make a reservation though.
Oh wow!
We have down in the therapy gym. We have a bunch of plinths. I'm sure I could make myself comfortable down on one of those.
Nice.
It'd be a little rough, but
Hotel Hendrix, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Nice. I may be staying there.
Yeah, I hope it's not as bad, but who knows? We'll get through it. And next Thursday, it's supposed to be 50 degrees.
Oh right, yeah. So we're gonna rebound.
And like Tuesday is supposed to be like 40.
We'll rebound quickly.
Like it's just this 2 day. Kind of 2.5 day. One. I don't know.
White Christmas, then it'll be gone.
I hate it. I want it like 2010, 2011. It was like 75 degrees. Yeah, well, it was about 2 years ago. My mom was or 4 years ago.
We wore shorts that day. I remember.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we should have recorded during this whole episode. You know why? We could have. We'll just all get snowed in together, and then all we do is just record. As long as we have power, we just record, mm-hmm. right?
I would walk home.
You're like, no. I
love you guys, but no.
I don't want to spend
the I got 4-wheel drive. I can get you guys home.
There you
quickly.
Go. Quickly. Yeah. My one of our church secretaries, she goes, we're talking about the weather, and I said, I'm off Friday, Monday, and Tuesday from the church. I said, but I still have my cleaning business. I've got those commitments. And she goes, ooh, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to kill myself. So, I'm not going to risk injury or wrecking my car. She goes, well, what do you drive? You got a 4-wheel drive? I said, no, you know what I drive? A Honda Civic. She goes, what's that? Everybody knows Honda Civic. Yeah, I said, it's a smaller 4-door sedan, just a tad smaller than an Accord. She had no idea what a Honda Civic is. But I said, I do have traction control, but I said, I don't have a 4-wheel drive. But anyway.
Front-wheel drive's better than nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have front-wheel drive and it's traction control, so. There you go.
It'll do. Bad.
And creepies, if you guys are out there and you're going to get hammered by the snow, we hope you're safe and stay in and do what you need to do.
Stay in and get hammered.
Be safe.
Stay and get hammered, but while you're getting hammered.
Wait, what?
Something like that. Anyway, we're glad the creepies. What is this? 93, we said?
This is 93.
93, as you say. Cool.
I like it.
We're making it to the 100, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
The 100 fools.
God willing, right?
Yeah. This is going to be, 174 total episodes. Mm-hmm. But
man.
I know. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like.
We're talking our numbers are good, looking good. Their Christmas numbers are the Mako boys are having a good Christmas.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of zeros.
A lot of yeah. Pretty much.
That's a whole different thing. But
we are, though. Yeah. We're ending the year strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And we thank you, creepies, for that. So let's get right to it. Sean.
Yes.
First announcements.
Yes. I noticed those were missing last time.
Right? Do I need to turn his mic off?
So you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's freestyle these. I'm kidding.
We kept
I'll follow the script.
It wasn't a mini, but it wasn't.
Not script. No, it was wonderful. We're going to freestyle some other time, right? Freestyle. Okay. So the first part of the announcements, we say this every time, but I'm going to say it again. We are building a community of mental health. Again, I said again. Again. Okay. We are building. How about that? A community for mental health and all things mental illness related. Right.
We're just talking about us three,
like right now.
See, you picked up what I was laying down. Right?
My Lexapro.
exactly.
That dosage.
Right.
Here.
But amidst all the fun,
yes, we are.
This though. Is a serious topic.
Oh something. Yeah, absolutely.
So stop it, Todd. You to get help, you can always call or text #988 for any and all types of crises or crises. I don't know how you say that. Don't be scared to get help by going to counseling. Find one that you feel comfortable with. And sometimes it takes more than a few times to find the right counselor, right fit, right? You can also visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and I were talking about bullying today on the phone when I was coming home. And she said, what'd you say? And I said, bullying. And she goes, I thought you said bowling. And she's dead serious. She thought I was talking about bowling. I'm like, gosh. So it's not just the creepies out there.
Your wife called you.
She did.
What'd you say?
I said bullying.
Bullying. Good job.
I thought she was trying to be funny. She wasn't trying to be funny.
Good job, Sean. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And we do want our creepies to do what it takes to get healthy. That's right.
That's right.
Okay.
Speaking of it, get healthy.
All right,
Nate. Yeah, little tweak of the back.
Little twinge there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in the saddle, Nate. Back in the saddle.
You know, creepies. You know what time it is. Oh. Dad joke of the show.
We missed that last week, too.
I know. This one is courtesy of my baby boy, Elijah.
We'll allow
it.
He
loves me to say that.
We will allow it.
So, here is your dad joke of the show. Do you guys know which is faster, hot or cold?
No, not really.
I dare not.
Sean?
I dare not answer.
You dare not answer?
I'm going to say hot. I don't know why.
Yes, hot is faster because you can catch a cold. You can catch a cold.
I didn't know why.
That is courtesy of my 12-year-old son, Elijah.
I didn't know why, and now I still don't. I don't need to know why.
He was pretty proud of that.
That's good, Elijah. So, that was very good. I appreciate that.
Because you can catch a cold.
I mean, yeah, you can.
And you can't catch a hot. I mean, you get burned.
Catch a hot. No, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work. But you can catch a cold.
You can catch a cold.
So there you go. That is the dad joke of the show.
You can't tune a fish either.
No, you can't tune a fish. Oh. Wait a minute.
Man, they just keep coming.
Nate, leave the dad jokes to me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's my segment. There you go, creepies. Enjoy. That's courtesy of my son. All right.
Good stuff.
Hey, let's get to some other shout-outs and miscellaneous announcements. But these are not miscellaneous. These are
There's a slew of them. I see a slew.
What's this essay I'm reading?
These are special announcements. I'm going to start. I've been communicating with this guy. Bobby Shue is his name, and he is a podcaster.
Bobby.
And his show is Mystic Talk. He gets into kind of like what we talk about, mental health. Mm-hmm. He is big into aliens. And Yes.
Nate got that Twitch over there.
Yeah, he and I have been communicating on Instagram, and we both joined this group, this podcast group. There's a bunch of them out there. It's people are bouncing ideas back and forth and this and that. But let me read a little bit here. Mr. Shue, where are you, sir? Boy, I'm really prepared, aren't I? Good night. There we go.
On it.
So he discusses mainly UFOs and the paranormal cases. And then he says he uses his platform to get to your higher state of consciousness.
Nice.
He's talked about. I don't think he's going to mind me talking, but he about it. But he when he was in middle school or high school, he experienced bullying. So he got into that. He talks about a lot of personal stuff that he's experienced. Yeah. So it's not just the paranormal. He talks about real life stuff and his experiences, and he just wants to kind of like what we do. He wants people to be better, and he wants to help. And so
I like the name of
it's
it.
A very
Mystic Talk is cool.
It's a very good podcast. Mm-hmm. I've listened to probably three or four of his episodes, and he talks about all kinds of stuff. So give him a subscribe, give him a rating and a review, and tell him that the Mako Boy sent you.
That's awesome.
So again, Bobby Shue's the host.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, and he just does it by himself. You know, at least the ones I've heard, the episodes, he doesn't have like a co-host or anything.
Everybody needs to stop bullying, or we're going to send our goons over there.
And bully.
Well, never mind.
And bully. That's right, Nate. goons. And then here is a very... Yeah, so, yeah, please give him a listen. Now, this one's an exciting announcement. We, your middle-aged and creeped-out boys, are going to be joining the Tragedy of Cinema once again May 20th on a Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., with the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show. We are a part of that again, so we're excited.
That's awesome.
Now, the cool thing about this live show, it is going to be different. Because
we're there?
No. No. It's going to be at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana, which is about 35 minutes north of Indy, maybe 40 minutes. That's going to be cool. It's supposed to be haunted. So it is a once was a jail. Mm-hmm. And I guess Jerry, he toured it last week. To confirm, wanted to look at it, him and Tracy, they still have on the walls appropriate, nothing like bad
graffiti.
But some of the inmates wrote stuff on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get your picture taken. They're going to have like the orange jumpsuits, and they're going to have like a sign, they have the numbers and all that. The tables, most of the tables are going to be inside jail cells.
That's so cool. That is
very
cool.
Yeah. Only holds 40. Right now, there are 36 tickets available. Mm-hmm. They're $25. Yep, $25 a piece. So go get you some, as you would say.
That's right. Oh, heck yeah, that's what I'd say.
We are excited, and I know James is excited. Yeah, so we are with Hillbilly Horror Stories again May 20th on a Saturday, 6 to 10 p.m., and yeah, come out and check us out, because that is going to be fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't wait.
He posted a lot of
pictures.
He'll
be here before we know it. I mean, truly.
It's only, well, now for less than 5 months.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. Yeah, so it's the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana.
Yeah.
Now, Sean.
Yes.
Now we're going to segue to something a little bit less exciting.
A little more somber.
Yeah,
I know.
A couple things here, but you start. Yeah.
I will start. Last Thursday, I talked to a friend of mine, and she was my old CEO, the first company I worked for the first 10 years of my OT career, was TX Team. Okay, so TX is short for treatment, so it's a treatment team, basically. But so TX Team was my original company, and the president of that company, his name was Greg Jennings. Well, she and I were talking at lunch, and she informed me that he passed away on Thursday. So I guess we talked on Friday technically, and then she told me that he passed away on Thursday. But I wanted to read their quick post that they put on there in honor of him, and it's really cool. He was very influential in my life. He honestly is why I'm where I'm at, to be fair. Mm-hmm. He supported me in those first 10 years. And he helped me build my family, basically, you know, honestly, without his support and the company's support. And I wanted to always stay there because it was like a big family. I hired on because it felt like a family. I love the way that he led. He was one of the funniest guys I've ever known. Great leader. He was a Vietnam vet. He got sent home for Purple Heart. He called it the magic bullet, but it was, I don't know whether it was an inch away from his heart or inches, but I think every time he told the story, it got closer to his heart.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But he went home.
Pierced his heart.
Oh. Yeah. He went home, thought he wanted to be an auto mechanic. That's what he dreamed about doing. Hmm. So he said he took a car apart. He bought a car, took it apart to try to figure, you know, kind of teach himself how to be an auto mechanic. Couldn't get the car back together again. He went to PT school. So,
well, he figured it out.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah, I figured out that that's not what he wanted to do.
That's a funny story.
So, and then he started his own, company. But
cool.
They posted, "It is with sadness that we announce the passing of our founder and former CEO, Greg Jennings, on December 15th, 2022. He was 75 years old. Greg grew up in southern Indiana, the town of Jeffersonville, Indiana. He started his working career as a paperboy for the Evening News and was active in the Boy Scouts, eventually earning his Eagle Scout. Greg later joined the Army and served as a tank commander. He was a two-time Purple Heart recipient and a war hero. We often like to tell the origin story of TX Team. At some point after Greg returned from Vietnam and had recovered from his injuries, he was getting a haircut and decided to seek career advice. His barber recommended that he attend physical therapy school, so he did. Greg graduated from Indiana University and went to work for a large rehab company. During his time there, he experienced great success and was promoted several times. One day, his boss called Greg into the office and told him he had some good news and had some bad news. The good news, he was going to be promoting regional vice president. The bad news was that he would be miserable and would never succeed. His boss advised him to strike out on his own and Physical Medical Associates, the former name of TX Team, was born on May 4th, 1983. While he created an incredible, successful company that lasted nearly 40 years, Greg was at his best when he was in his clinic, laughing, telling jokes, and helping people feel better. Those who knew him will always remember him this way. Greg was a humble man who never spoke of his legacy, his heroism, or his effect on the lives of countless patients and associates of TX Team. Today, we salute him. He was an entrepreneur and a visionary in our industry. His legacy lives on, and I just got chills, by the way. His legacy lives on through all of us. We will miss his jokes, self-deprecating humor. He did that often. His genuine interest in the lives and well-beings of others, and his willingness to help anyone for any reason. Greg Jennings was a true American original. May he rest in peace."
Nice.
Carol Nelligan is my friend, the OT that told me about this. She's the CEO. She's still the CEO of TX Team, by the way. And shout out to her. She is a creepy, by the way, listener. She one thing she told me on the phone, she said, "I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of what you're doing and your growth." So she's very proud to be part of this. She interacts too on her page. And
what's her name?
So Carol Nelligan. So shout out to Carol. She's one of the best therapists I've ever worked with, and people, great leader. And I'm not just saying that. It's true. I've told her that myself. So for her to tell me about that, and Greg is somebody that I've very much looked up to.
One of the last things I told Greg when I had to leave the company, and it was because it was to stay with Johnson Memorial and become an employee there. And I really took a lot of time with that transition. But I called Greg personally, and I thanked him. I thanked him for all the years and all the support, and he was very humble, and he was funny. And the last thing I told him, the last thing I've ever, because I have not spoken to him since, but is I told him I loved him. And he Aww. Said, I love you too, Sean. But he's the one, and 6 months into being an OT, he sat down with me on a bench at Hoosier Village, one of the first place I ever worked. And he told me, he said, so when you're a manager and all this, and he started talking to me about management. And I said, Greg, I've been an OT for all of 6 months. I said, I don't even have that figured out. What makes you think I'm going to be a manager? He goes, oh, you're great with people. You're going to be a manager. Like, he saw right through me, mm-hmm. you know, so he just, I've been in management. So anyway, he means a great deal to me. So shout out to Greg. I'm sure he's at peace. I'm sure he's, I swear, I told everybody Carol asked me to tell people, you know, that we all know in common. She said, I can't get to everybody and tell them, but can you please pass this on? So I did. And I said, God has to be laughing extra mm-hmm. hard because he's funny. He made little old ladies laugh. He made me laugh every time. I mean, just our colleagues, he was a funny guy. So cool. I guarantee you, like I said, God is laughing a little harder because he's up there.
That's cool.
So anyway,
awesome. Sounds like a good
shout
day.
Out to him. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Shout Truly. Out. Nothing but good things.
Greg
to
Jennings,
say.
Right?
Greg Jennings. Oh. God bless him.
Very nice. And then I've got one. I've mentioned the volunteers of our church, Dan and Diana Smith. They're both 81. But Ma, as she went by, she passed away on Thursday, the 8th of December. And she had battled Parkinson's and a lot of health problems. She fell in their garage, and that kind of started the whole thing. But she had been dealing with, like I said, Parkinson's and a couple other things going on for a couple, you know, I mean, probably 4 or 5 years. So that just kind of increased the hardship she went through lately. And so it kind of sped things up, and she just couldn't, she got pneumonia and things snowballed. So anyway, she was a funny lady. She was hard-nosed. She was opinionated. She was no-nonsense, but she had a great heart. She loved Jesus. She said she was not a diabetic. Sean, what is it when they got to watch, like, the sugar intake? What is that?
Hypoglycemic?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. That mm-hmm. She was that. And so she could have, like, a chocolate chip cookie every once in a while, you know. But so she always said when she does pass, she said she's going to hug. First thing she's going to do is hug Jesus, brother Jesus. And then she said, I'm going to have me a Coke. I'm going to have me, you know, Hostess cupcake. I'm going to have, you know, all the chocolate chip cookies I want. So her and Dan came to, a few of our kids' birthday parties. They helped. I mean, a lot of things that at the church would not get done if it wasn't for them. And when she was able-bodied, she even helped because we have a large property. She was on the mower on the I don't think it's a Dixie chopper, but the zero turn, and man, she was mm-hmm. going up and down, you know, and she did stuff, and then her body just gave out. And so she had to be limited what she could do, but we had so many laughs. Oh my gosh. And she was a Michigander.
That's awesome.
She was from Michigan.
She's a Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So Diana Moss Smith will be missed. Dan's doing okay for losing his wife of 44 years. And that was each other's second marriage. So yeah. 44. Yeah.
Dang.
But yeah, she left behind, you know, kids and grandkids and great grandkids and a lot of friends. So
it's awesome.
We are going to miss her, but
God
she
bless
is
her soul.
And she is not in pain and doesn't have to have that wretched body. Cause man, she struggled. Mm. So shout out to Greg Jennings and Ma Smith.
Yeah.
So
God bless both their souls. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm trying to think who said it. One of their family members actually Luke Proctor, our senior minister at the church now, he said same thing like Greg, when Ma went up to heaven, things got a lot more fun.
Right?
Man, she was a character. I mean, a character, you know.
Heck yeah.
She could frustrate you more than anybody, but yet you loved her. I mean,
we miss him, but we'll look forward to seeing him again, you know.
Yeah, she was 81, so she lived a long life. So yeah. All right. With all that said, hey, let's get into the topic. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about, and I got to credit this where credit is due.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's I chose this or wanted to talk about this. Technically, I think it was on Nate's list because he wrote it down.
For the Grimdark Diary Girls, our friends. So shout out to them.
Right? Friends to the North.
Friends to the North. Nuva Escutia, right? This is Mary King's Close. When did we talk to them? Back like spring? Last spring, yeah, summer, spring, spring, early summer, springish summers.
It's hard to figure out now.
They said we should totally cover it, and we've had it. We've been sitting on it for this long, and I'm like, man, we need to cover this.
You know, and I remember Nikki saying that, and Megan, and I was like, what the heck is she talking about? Like, it doesn't, I'm like, Mary King is close. What is that? You know, like if she would have said,
never heard of
hey,
it before.
Talk about the such and such.
Do you have it on there?
I do have it written down.
I told you it was on there.
Oh, cool.
It's on his list.
He said. Little sticky notes.
He said he was going to write it down. So
funny.
Yeah, how about that?
So Megan and Nikki, thank you,
and we'll give Nate some credit for writing it down.
I
wrote it down as far as it got with me.
That's hilarious.
So it's technically on Nate's list. I stole it off there, but just because I remembered.
Yeah, no, but I kept thinking there was Mary King's Close. Yeah. Like it doesn't. What the heck is? I don't even. I didn't know what that meant. And of course,
we don't use that term of close. Yeah,
no. And then when you start diving into it. What a cool place and story. Uh-huh. Yeah. So thank you. Thanks, Nate, for writing it down. And thank you, Nikki and Megan.
Megan and Nikki together would make Megan.
Yeah, Mickey and Megan.
Wait, what?
Nikki and Megan. Thank you.
We're all kind of confused.
Whew. See what happens when you come back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Anyway. All right.
I'm like a spoon. I stir it up, baby.
No, this is cool. Cool topic. So let's get into it.
All right. So I'm going to put down a little foundation, you know. So Mary King's Close is a historic close, right? Because we don't use that term here, right? Located under the buildings on the Royal Mile in the historic Old Town area of Edinburgh, Scotland. It took its name from one of Mary King. Merchant Burgess, who resided on the close in the 17th century. The close was partially demolished and buried due to the building of the Royal Exchange in the 18th century, and later closed to the public for many years. The area became shrouded in myths and urban legends. Tales of hauntings and murders abounded.
Mm-hmm. My kind of place.
That's right.
Yeah, murder.
There's all kind of closes, too. Like I said, there's close, basically. They said close, in a generic sense, is like an alleyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, describe. Yeah, it's like a subterranean. It's not underground, but it's just because, below the street.
Because they're so close. Like, the streets are so close together. That's why they call it a close, but it's...
Sorry to cut you off. They said that this is the most famous one, but they did say there's like a dozen of them. You know, in the
there's a whole list of them. Yeah, there's a whole list of them. Yep.
And they said that a lot of them, at least this one, they're so narrow that like two horses. That's about can get through.
That's pretty darn close, right?
Pretty close. Yeah.
It looks like. I mean, some of it looks like a staircase.
And you just look straight up against the. I mean, all you can see is the sky. There's really nothing. You know, that's it.
Yeah, and they said
within buildings, you know,
families of like 15 would be jammed into these little tiny areas.
Yeah. And it makes me think of like a third world country, you know, where like, you have all these family members and they're in one room. Yeah. And
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're going back to the 1600s, 1700s.
Right.
I'm going to say this because I want to forget it. So one of the videos I watched, the guy was... It was his video, so I mean, he wasn't like the tour guide or anything, but he was doing his video, and he was going through the close of Mary King. And he said, he was just kind of telling, he got into the paranormal later on, but he wanted to kind of tell about what a close is, how the living conditions were,
right.
what it was like to be in that area, right? And he said, even using the restroom wasn't that easy. He said, like you said, they crammed all these family members in, and they would use a bucket, you can figure out what for,
right?
To do their business. And then what they had to do was they would literally open the door when it was full, and I can't remember what they yelled something, and what that did was
fire in the hole,
bombs away. they warned people so they would not walk by, and then they would know, be aware of what's coming. So they would, and that's what they did. They just emptied it in the streets. And so I'm like, holy moly, that's rough. That's right. Yeah. So you're looking at a whole family using a bucket.
A bucket.
And that's how they flush
it. Billy, it's your turn to empty the bucket.
Yeah. Why me?
Don't hit any neighbors.
Yeah. That's gross, yeah. Man. So that's, yeah. They opened the door and then they yell, whatever. And that was a warning to, like, hey, here it comes. Look out. So anyway, I thought that was
it. One's loaded. That's
right. This says number two.
Fire.
Yeah.
That talk about hauntings, right?
Ooh.
It has hauntings, which we're going to talk about several of those. But it says Mary King's Close has had a reputation for hauntings since at least the 17th century, with several paranormal investigations taking place. It has been pointed out that this particular close ran the neatest of any
nearest.
I'm sorry, the nearest. Oh, my gosh, my eyes. The nearest to any, to the old Norlock. I would figure that out eventually. No, maybe at the end of the episode. To the old Norlock, a stagnant and highly polluted marsh. So that's that Norlock down there is a body of water that's disgusting, right? Biogas escaping into the close and creating eerie lights may have been the cause for these rumors of spirit hauntings. It's also said that the gas escaping into the closes were known to cause hallucinations. Yay!
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I know what the Norlock monster is.
Is it poop?
it's the poop kind monster. Of
formed into a
it's a big
devastating
big pile of poop
eerie creature that stunk. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that there you go, that's that probably is it. It's a big turd.
Nessie's cousin.
It's a turd. Look at him. He stinks about.
Looks like a about big pile of
got Nessie in the
and messy.
Yeah. I was going to call him nutty.
Oh,
it's a bit nutty. Yeah, here I go coughing. It's a bit nutty.
That's great. When he's, I think most of our creepies would think about
awesome. It. Powers, baby. That's fantastic.
And you're watching him. He's getting the coffee cup
uh-huh. right
there.
Oh, yeah, stomach turns. Like,
there's good memes like, with that too, right?
It's a bit nutty.
It's a bit nutty. It's
the chocolate stash.
Oh yeah, that's the second one. Right? I think yeah, that was with Fat Bastard. I think it was,
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He left a floater.
Float it down.
Okay. Sorry, creepies. We just.
When did I eat corn?
Oh, my gosh.
I eat because I'm sad, and I'm sad because I eat.
It's a vicious cycle. That's fantastic. Oh, gosh. This is what you guys get. I'm sorry.
Want to smell my diaper.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, they said if you're claustrophobic, do not live in a close. Don't walk by. Don't take a tour because it's things are very close, I guess. Yeah. Anyway.
Close in the close.
Yeah, close in the close. So I think let's get into the paranormal. Let's get into the freaky, deaky, creepy
stuff. The freaky, deaky Deutsch.
Woo! Yeah. So Mary King, I believe she was... because she was a ruler type of, she had status. It wasn't just named after anybody, right?
She sounds important.
Oh, you didn't look it up? I didn't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mary King's, it was actual, there was a Mary King.
I knew there was. I just wasn't sure exactly what kind of status she held. I mean, enough that she was part of this thing, right?
Yeah, right.
I know that sounds real technical, but.
There is a, it says the celebrity of the closest supernatural resident is one called Annie, a ghostly preteen who, so the story goes, scared the daylights out of a Japanese psychic in 1992. This lady had been unimpressed by the tour until she arrived at one of the many small rooms. There she was suddenly struck by an overwhelming feeling of sickness, hunger, and cold, and when she tried to leave, felt the ghastly tug of a ghostly hand on her leg. Poor Annie's spectral life has now been fleshed out, and it is believed that she had been left to die by her family. Since then, people from around the world have come to Annie's room. Many have told tour guides of seeing impressions of the spirit in the room. Some visitors, treating the room as a shrine, have left gifts for the little girl out of affection.
Annie, are you okay?
Are you okay, Annie?
See, this is what happens when we miss one of us, you know. So far, just Sean and I. Since Nate's on his hot streak, he hasn't missed one. He's bragging.
Not since the first.
Well, I get threatened if I miss.
That's right. We bully you.
True story. Don't make me get the stick.
Yeah. Anyway, poor Annie. The family wasn't good to her.
They were not.
No.
No. I think this is interesting, and I only want to point this out because it's funny, too. Mary King's Close was the subject of a vigil conducted by a team of ghost hunters on the 13th and 14th of October in 2012. The vigil was documented in their Chapter 3, which was called Don't Lick the Wallpaper, which is a reference to the original arsenic-laced wallpaper found in the Close's dwelling. So it was in Chapter 3 of their book, Ghosts of Edinburgh, by Newcastle-born author Rob Kirkup. Mary King's Close is the setting for the teen fiction novel Crowboy, written by Philip Caviney and published by Scottish-based publisher Fledging Press, blah, 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 in 2012. Mary King's Close is a location in a teen fiction novel, City of Ghosts, and it was published by Scholastic on September 6, 2018. It is a location in Mortal Causes by Ian Rankin, where a body is found. So it is something I'm, like I said, just finding out about it this year, but it is something that has been referenced in different literatures and things like that. So I thought that was literary references anyway. So
yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool.
It is. I like it.
Hmm.
What you got, Nate? You look like you're struck by something. Well,
I'm reading more about Annie.
Is she okay?
maybe.
You proposed the question.
So it says that a renowned Japanese psychic, Akio Gibo, came to visit the real Mary King's Close while making a film about the haunted places of Britain. When he came to stepping inside a room off Allen's Close, she could barely enter the 17th century room for the pain and unhappiness she could feel there. "I cannot enter this room. It is too strong. There is a child beside me. Her hand is clutching my trouser leg. I just cannot go into this room. She was separated from her parents. She wants to go home and see her family. Her desire haunts this place very strongly." Hmm. So,
now is that the same? It was worded different, but I think that's the same story.
Is it the same story?
Yeah. But okay. You added a couple things though onto it.
So. Yeah, I thought there's a couple little things that were a little different. Yeah. Yeah.
They just said it.
Makes it even more true though, right? And we talked about that when we talk about it twice. It just makes it, it confirms.
Right? But it's saying that, she did communicate with the young girl's spirit.
Oh, cool. I didn't have that.
And she lost, her name was Annie. She had lost her favorite doll and is heartbroken.
Right.
So the psychic purchased a doll from the Royal Mile shop and returned it to the little girl.
It's basically a Barbie, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yes. The doll apparently brought comfort to the child and said, "So long as the doll remains, it is said that the room will never again be disturbed by her spirit." Mm-hmm. So now this goes into like talking about the doll and,
interesting.
So a growing number of people from over the world have brought Annie dolls, toys, jewelry.
There's a whole pile of them. It's kind of creepy, but it's also kind of like, oh, you know. And they say it makes her happy, is what I saw. The videos I saw and some of the stories I read.
On the 17th of April 2019, we received a somewhat panicked radio call from our guide, Pedro, informing us that Annie's doll was no longer in her usual spot in the 17th century house. So apparently it's still there. We initially thought it might have fallen amid the pile of donated toys. Unfortunately, after searching the entire site, the doll was nowhere to be found.
Interesting.
Doll's discovery. After the disappearance of the doll, we did a little digging into the history of the toy and uncovered some interesting facts. Once news spread, we got a whole load of questions about the doll. We always knew it wasn't an official Barbie, but coined the nickname the Tartan Barbie.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know my Barbies.
Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, me neither.
I know my Kens.
You know Barbies. Your Barbies. You know your Kens. It's funny.
It was just a knockoff. No, we actually discovered that it was, in fact, part of the Daisy Doll Airline collection designed by the iconic Mary Quaint fashion designer. Hmm. So, yeah. It doesn't say that if they've actually found the doll, though.
Okay, so we don't know if it's still...
Yeah, so it may be missing now.
Right. Oh, I hope it's
so not. Annie is on a rage now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Annie's ticked.
Yeah.
She's on a bender. And
where
a rage
is my
and...
doll? I want it now. I will hurt you.
I want the world.
So yeah, that's pretty interesting.
I want the whole world.
Oh, no.
Give it to me. Wait, oh. That's Willy Wonka, right?
Yeah, I was just saying.
There's an article called The Scotsman, which is very appropriate, right? And it talks about the ghosts of Mary King's Close. It says, the dark, claustrophobic streets running off the Royal Mile lead away from the light and downhill into the shadows. These half-forgotten reminders of Edinburgh's insanitary past provide a perfect setting for a suitable spooky atmosphere, largely built upon the ruins of the centuries gone by. It is not just those of a sensitive nature who feel a certain frisson when they walk past. Admitting to spine-chilling creepiness is one thing, but deciding that you believe in ghosts is quite another. There are a few places better situated to debating paranormal phenomenon than Mary King's Close, Edinburgh's notoriously haunted spot below the city chambers. The Close was inhabited during the 16th and 17th centuries before the plague ravaged families living in the tightly packed tenement buildings. A century after the illness broke out, the city partly sealed the abandoned homes and alleyways, prompting chilling stories about paranormal sightings of previous inhabitants. I thought that it's interesting because they do tours and they have them dressed, you know, like
period clothing. Yeah.
Period clothing. Yeah. So it says skeptic, open-minded, or believer. The tours themselves are a wonderful experience and well orchestrated by the operators. Continuum. Authentically dressed guides lead visitors out of the sunshine downstairs into the murky past through vaults and alleyways that form the remnants of the 17th century Edinburgh. They punctuate the gloom and eye-opening historical information, practice banter, and the occasional heart-thumping shock. The uncharacteristic drop in temperature in Annie's room is disconcerting. A growing list of people who believe they've seen spirits here has led to a number of experiments being conducted in the Close. Ryan O'Neill from Scottish Paranormal, a group of amateur enthusiasts of the supernatural, captured a very faint white, white or transparent sphere when photographing the recreated workshop. His groups hope to find these spiritual orbs again when they conduct experiments during the Edinburgh Ghost Festival that they plan to do. So It's interesting that they have different phenomenon that they pick up in there.
Yeah, they had that. They had the Black Plague they had to deal with.
Oh,
and they said because and of course your
doc, yeah, they had the plague doctors down in there too. Yep. So
with the crazy bird like mask. Mm-hmm. You know why it was long?
They had
the snout or what do you want to call it? The beak.
They kept the herbs and all that kind of stuff at the end of the so yeah.
Mask the smell of,
yeah.
All of, it.
Of death.
Yeah.
This says, in an attempt to minimize the bubonic plague impact, a local plague physician would saw off the site of a potential infection wound,
yep.
Or infected wound, and cauterize it with a red-hot iron. Ooh. A painful but effective technique to slow the spread of the disease.
Yeah, there was one of the doctors that they said he saved a bunch of lives. He was a lifesaver. but he was the one that came up with that mask, I guess. Mm-hmm. That whole outfit that's kind of creepy.
Either let me cut it off or it'll fall off in 3 weeks.
So is that how they talk?
I don't know.
Let me cut that's it just, about.
That's just the I voice that came out.
Yeah. Here's a story here. From the Edinburgh News. Says in the 80s, you entered through an anonymous door that led down into the chilly underworld. That chill, along with the tales of plague, death, and murder still remain today, and Mary King's Close is now reputed to be one of the most haunted places in the capital. Indeed, there are those who have been, indeed, there are those who would have you believe the infamous thoroughfare is regularly visited by the shade of Mary King herself, allegedly captured as a ghostly image by ghost hunters with an infrared camera late one night after the public had left the site. Others claim to have seen the male witch, Major Thomas Weir, who walked through the close on his way to his execution, while the spirit of local resident Andrew Chesney, it has been claimed, told local paranormal investigators to just get out when they asked, would you like us to leave here now? And that's before we even touched on the plague victims who perished here when the Black Plague, Black Death came calling in 1644.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's that... Eiko Gibo, whoever the Japanese I quit on that. Yeah, that's cool.
It says with Mary King, I thought this was interesting because this kind of goes over a few things that we've had questions on and we've already talked about, but clarifying a little bit more. Mary King's Close history: lying deep beneath the streets of Edinburgh's old town lies a dark maze. And I liked it because I posted it too on Facebook, that the maps of what it looked like and what it was,
right?
You know, how to kind of get around the areas. That makes it even spookier in my opinion, but that it was got buried. So just and tossed aside, you know, all the memories and stuff for a while. Yeah. And just, yeah. And like nobody really, like, I don't know. That's how a lot of that folklore started. Right.
Yep.
So lying deep beneath the streets of Edinburgh's old town lies a dark maze of closes known as Mary King's Close. It's named after the 17th century Edinburgh merchant Mary King, and it just says a past resident of the close. That's why I was like, I don't know
she
much about her. Do you
she have some type of status?
Let me find it here. I just saw that.
I think there was a video that told a little bit more about her, but I just don't remember.
Mary King was a widowed fabric merchant.
Okay.
That sounds also important. Sewed for a living.
Okay.
After her husband died in 1629, she and her four children moved into the close. Here, she rented a so-called turnpike house with a cellar. She also rented a shop on High Street.
Better than a buyer, by the way.
As a widow, she had to work very hard, but according to discovered papers, she led a fairly comfortable life. When she died in 1644, her will was written up in a book, which was found many years later, and she had the clothes named after her.
Nice. Cool. See, that's good. I don't think I ever found that much history about her.
I did not either.
It says Mary King's Close consists of several underground closes that would have originally been very narrow walkways with dwellings on either side, sometimes rising to 7 stories. People lived and worked here, with the poorer residents living on the bottom floors and the wealthier living on the top floors. I guess that makes sense. And this is what you were talking about, Todd. With no sewage system in Edinburgh in the 17th century, people would have to go and do their business in a bucket. Each household had one. At a specific time each day, people would listen for the cry of Gardy-Loo.
There you go.
It says Gardy-Loo.
Gardy-Loo.
Which would
Gardy-Loo, I got poo.
I got you some
watch
poo.
Watch out, it's going to get on you.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
Look out below. Which would signal to the residents it's time to throw the waste in the buckets into the street to be collected.
It's a hot steamer.
It says if you ever tour... Here comes my. I still got that cough. Don't I? If you ever, especially when I laugh, if you ever tour Mary King's Close, you'll notice that each side of the road has channels for the waste to run down the streets towards what is known as Norlock. Right, we got other names for it now. Ooh. A heavily polluted lake located where the Princess Street Gardens now stands and flourish.
No. What is it? Gardy-Loo.
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 Mm.
Here we go. Yeah. So they showed one of the videos I watched that. The reason they have those closes is because the city was built. It's like a wedge. It's always like a hill. So you've got the well-to-do, the people, uh-huh. And so then as it's built down,
they say let's say it nicely, the poo runs downhill, right?
Yeah.
It says you can imagine the smell and disease having this rotting excrement so close to the homes that would cause. This is one of the reasons why in the mid-1600s, the plague ravaged Edinburgh, particularly Mary King's Close.
Hmm. Oh, and they said that, you know, of course, in all the other countries that it affected, but like the rats were just everywhere, and so they didn't have anywhere to really go because of the way they, you know, the buildings were and the streets and all that.
That's modern living.
Yeah, but it's just weird though to see how it was built. Where, they made the Close was because of they built it on a slant, and so that as the further you go down, well, then now so they're looking up, so they're not technically on the ground, but they're pretty much under the main, you know, the wealthier people. It's kind of cool though, as you watch the video, but I mean, I'd hate to live there though. I mean, back then, I'd hate to live in that.
I think this is interesting. This is how part of that folklore and the urban legend started. Contrary to popular belief, the Close wasn't sealed with plague victims inside in 1645. Those healthy enough and those who wanted to move are relocated to Burgmur, however you say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Burgmur.
I'll let you
say it. The people who chose to stay during the outbreak continued to go on about their lives and run their businesses. Those suffering from the plague would hang white flags outside their homes, which would signal they needed food and coal. Then delivered by the council workers and volunteers. It's so sad.
Man, that's rough living.
Either of you mentioned anything about Thomas Coltheart?
Nope.
No.
He is a respected lawyer, and his wife moved into the Close in 1685. Their maidservant fled the place almost immediately, claiming the house was haunted.
Oh.
Later, Coltheart and his wife saw a man's disembodied head floating through the house. Mrs. Coltheart fainted after seeing this, and the apparition disappeared shortly after that. It returned back after supper with a child's spirit and a severed arm which beckoned them. But that was not all. A ghostly dog appeared running through the living room, followed by a spirit cat, and the whole room filled with weird little creatures who they claimed danced around prettily.
Prettily.
It's like elementals, huh?
A deep and dreadful groan filled the room, and all ghosts and ghouls disappeared. I guess that must have slept quite peacefully. I guess they must have slept quite peacefully that night. Not. The dog also appeared.
Not.
On later accounts, it would curl up on a chair.
Oh. Puppy dog. A ghostly dog.
Demon dog.
And
it wasn't demon.
It could have been.
It was just ghostly.
Yeah. It was ghastly because it was ghostly. Well, I guess it could have been ghastly, too, like G-A-S-L-Y.
I don't want it in my house. That's all I know.
That is a cool story.
Gnarly.
So the haunting was back, though, in 1685?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're thinking, okay, it's haunted now because of what happened in the 1600s. But
started early, right?
Yeah. So here's, again, from Edinburgh News. Chris Trotter, a guide at the attraction at the time, said he, too, knew of many instances of tourists suddenly feeling unwell, of feeling a little hand-grabbing at them, or feeling a dread sense of cold. He says, and I quote, "I've had a few experiences," he told the news. "People, when they come into this room, sometimes feel quite uneasy. About a year ago, one woman came in, and she felt very overcome after about 30 seconds and had to go out." Mm. Author and Edinburgh tour guide Graham, G-R-A-M-E, Milne. Man, is more cautious when considering of the venue's ghostly tales, he says. Stories about early hauntings in Mary King's Close were mentioned in a book called Satan's Invisible World, in which an occupant described outlandish ghostly visitations, but the book was pretty much a religious tract and suggested anyone not being devout could potentially see ghosts.
Hmm.
There you go.
Hmm.
Interesting.
We hadn't talked about George Ray yet, have we? The plague
doctor?
No,
sir.
The plague doctor, George Ray, would visit the close wearing his bizarre crow-beaked mask. Yeah, which is dressed head to toe in leather. The mask had a purpose, which we talked about already. Mm-hmm. Strong-smelling herbs and flowers, which were believed to stop the airborne miasmas, which was thought to carry the plague. However, the disease-ridden fleas were to blame. The leather stopped them from biting his leather stopped from biting his skin. To save a plague victim, Ray would slice open the boils, letting the pus drain away. Then he would cauterize the wound with a red hot poker. Whilst horrific, the technique actually went on to save many lives. Mm-hmm. Along with other plague doctors, Ray was promised a financial reward for conducting such dangerous work by the city council. However, not believing they'd survive, their hands were left in their pockets when it came time to reward Ray. It's believed Ray lived out his days, never having been fully compensated for his heroic efforts. But we still talk about him today, so that's cool.
That's cool. And real quick, the video that mentioned his name, and they were talking about how he made the outfit and what helped, like the long beak with the smell and all that. It's not the rats that gave, which I didn't know this.
Fleas from the rats.
It was the fleas that got, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that.
It went a little further into it. Yeah, I know you brought him up too, but it's just.
What was his name again?
George Ray.
George Ray. Yeah.
George Ray.
Yeah, he saved a bunch of lives. That's cool.
I got a cool little character here.
What you got?
Andrew Chesney.
Like Kenny.
He might. I don't know.
Could be a long,
long lineage of Chesneys. Another ghost at the close is believed to be the ghost of its last resident, Andrew Chesney. He was forced to leave the close in 1902 out of compulsory purchase. Andrew was especially proud of his Thunderbox. Thunderbox.
Okay.
Also known as his toilet.
Whoa.
Of course it was.
Would leave the door open and he would wave at passers while he was doing his business. His spirit is seen as a as a worried looking man wandering through the alley.
Wow. That is
Hey, how's it going?
Don't mind me.
Don't mind me.
Do my business. Get my Thunderbox.
You got any toilet paper?
Gardaloo.
Look out, Gardaloo.
That's funny.
Oh, Andrew Chesney. Oh, man.
That's a card right there.
That is. Yeah. They're like, oh, no. It's not Andrew Chesney. Don't look at him. Don't pay attention. He wants you to look at him. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, actually. Thunderbox.
Whatever
like
you do.
Yeah, Thunderbox. I was
don't look that towards running. The Thunderbox. I look. Dang it.
That's a new name for it.
Thunderbox.
I like it. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, I'll be back. I need to go visit the Thunderbox.
Yeah, right.
You could bring the thunder and the lightning.
I also have one more story. This is the woman in black. A woman in black in a black dress is seen on a frequent basis. She is believed to be the spirit of Mary King herself. Scratching sounds are heard inside the chimney where a child sweeper supposedly died.
Oh.
People who were brave enough to put their hands inside the chimney got scratched. Footsteps and voices are heard throughout the entire close. Sometimes an occasional stone is thrown.
I like it. I like that story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys wonder if we've talked about the stone tape theory? Where it's kind of like,
residual,
where it holds in the energy. Yeah.
We've mentioned that a dime or two or 12.
I would think this place would have to be that. Mm-hmm. It was so close quarters and
stone.
Yeah.
Well, and how long it was abandoned, how much activity and then how long it was abandoned.
Right,
Love, I think the history of it is so fascinating. this goes back into, it says, due to the building of the Royal Exchange in the 18th century, part of the close was demolished and buried. Later, it was completely closed off to the public, with only a few small businesses still operating. one of which was the Cheney family's small saw business, which was in operation up until 1902. Once they left, it was sealed and forgotten for years until it was rediscovered during roadworks above, when workers punched through the road into the sealed close below. Mary King's Close was then used as a bomb shelter during World War II, laying relatively unused again until the 1990s, when it was reopened to tourist attractions as we see today.
Yeah, I want to go. Right, put that down. Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely put that
there down. There is a social media movement called hashtag Bring Back the Doll.
Oh. Oh, we're going to find it, dang it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Poor Annie needs it, right? Or she's going to...
Because she's not okay.
Annie, no, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah.
She's not okay. That's her doll. Poor Annie.
When you used to do CPR training that back in the day, when I first started anyway, a good over 20 years ago now, they used to always call the dolls or the mannequins or the dummies, whatever you want to call them, Annie. That was her name.
Annie.
Its name or whatever, you know.
Right.
And you'd call it Annie because you were supposed to go up to it and like shake it and say, Annie, are you okay? And that's what we would say. We would always start with, Annie, are you okay? And then, but we would, you know, when you, it, that gets a little boring after us, it's, Annie, are you okay? You okay, Annie? So that was like, that's what I remember about CPR training. We don't do that anymore. It's staying alive. It's The Office now.
turn the mic, yeah. Oh,
turn my mic back on. Turn my mic back on.
I'm gonna turn it to Kevin Hart. I told you I would.
As Ron Burgundy would say, "Rich story."
What you do to my mic? You leave my mic alone.
Oh my gosh. You guys have anything else about Mary King's Close?
Do not. Do not touch the mic.
I want to go. I want to check this place.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be really cool.
I'd love to go to Scotland. Scotland's fantastic. Edinburgh.
Yeah.
The whole lot of it. Just the history. You know, me and my history. But I love to go over the pond and visit.
Over the
pond.
I love the accents. Scottish.
The Scottish.
Yeah. Brave, the cartoon. Sean the Disney Connery. Cartoon. I always liked the... We watched that a few times. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Little. I love those Scottish accents. Yeah.
Highlanders, right?
The Highlanders, yeah. Yeah, it's a cool place. So thank you to the Grimdark ladies.
Oh, yeah. They'll love this one. They said they would. I remember when they mentioned it, they said they would listen to this. So we'll have to. I was like, hey, girls.
Somebody on Instagram said when I posted our. Oh, speaking of Grimdark, Nikki says, my favorite. Can't wait to listen.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki.
It's like clockwork.
I'm trying to find it, but there was another woman that said that she lives close by there, or she's been there, didn't tour it. Anyway, yeah, so she said it's a really cool place. So, yeah, somebody that just saw our post. Yeah, so I think of all the places we've mentioned in all these episodes, it's different because of how it's built. It's not just like your straight normal building or whatever. It's not underground, but it's... Like they say, subterranean.
It's close.
Yeah, it's close. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's close. It's quite close.
The closest is as close as you can get for
closeness.
Yeah, for closeness sake. Yeah, I think it's a neat place. So there you go. Check it out, Creepies.
And, once a year,
what you got?
All the dolls and toys are donated to the Sick Kids Friends Foundation, except for the original doll.
Mm.
Until
it came
up missing.
So out of affection for Annie, the spirit, they do donate dolls, or like they drop off dolls, but then they gather them up and
they'd be considered
probably just keep replenishing them.
Are they paranormal at that point, though?
Ooh,
I mean, they've
maybe that
out.
Is something that they got to watch out for.
It's like soaked in paranormalness.
No, yeah. They're binormal.
They're binormal?
Mm, okay. All righty. Where are we going? Hey. That's
hey.
Are we closed out? Oh, shoot!
Don't do that.
I know.
Your job.
Well,
we got to do my job first.
Got to do his job first.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wait, what? We're all confused. This is what happens.
Discombobulated.
When one of us is gone
there
for
you
a
go.
Week.
All right. Well, let's get to. Sorry. Let's get to your whatever you call it. I don't know.
Well, tonight I'm going to do.
What is it called?
I'm in the mood.
Second announcements.
I'm in the mood for.
Oh, we got this.
A melody.
Oh, yeah, we got this. I'm not even reading them either.
Melody's not
for a melody.
The mam or the mam.
I'm over here singing to myself.
The Mam or the Mad? Yeah, which is it?
It's going to be a middle-aged moment.
I knew it.
Kind of closing out the year that way. I'm just feeling it, right?
Well, we got one more week now.
We do have. Well, I was right, but so who knows? Maybe I'll.
The reason I'm saying that is because today I was talking about, I'm like, oh, this is our last recording for the year.
It's not.
One more week.
Yeah, one more week.
Just before Christmas. I have had this one for a minute on my brain, on my mind, on my heart, and I like this one. So I think it'll touch a lot of us out there, not inappropriately, of course, but sorry. But it is Avicii. I don't know. I think I say that correctly. He passed. He committed suicide. You'll know this when I say it. It's the Wake Me Up song. You'd know it if you heard it. You look at me. You always look at me like.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Wake me up.
Not that one. No, don't
leave me hanging like a yo-yo.
That's upbeat. Right. That's a middle-aged moment.
This is true. How about next week? We'll do that one next week.
Okay.
This is not Wham. This is Wake Me Up, and it's a... I'm in Victoria.
I'm just sitting here waiting.
I'm going to send it to you like I do these ones that you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. You'll know it when I hear it, or you hear it, or whatever. Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where it will start. Nope, darn it. But I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. Well, that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. I tried carrying the weight of the world, but I only have two hands. Hope I get the chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans. Wish that I could stay forever this young, not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is the prize. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time, I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. I didn't know I was lost. Do you remember this one? You don't remember this one?
Not at all.
Okay. Maybe.
You don't remember?
If I hear
this gentleman, though, he was kind of one of those things where he was a DJ and put his music together. It's very catchy. And then this song was very, very popular, and then I'm not sure.
Sounds like it.
I'm sorry. Stop. But he did. He committed suicide. So it's something that he left us with. He left us with a beautiful message, I think. But it also, you know, exemplifies.
So he committed suicide.
As I recall.
That is sad. I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like that either.
I'm just making fun of something.
Not at all. I know. But he left us with something beautiful. Like many people have gone before us in whatever way they went.
Song. Yeah.
Vici?
Avicii?
Avicii.
Yeah, Avicii.
He's looking it up to listen to.
Yeah. Okay. I honestly don't know. I don't remember that.
It's okay.
Regardless, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was still good. Good middle-aged moment.
Avicii. Avicii, he was Swedish.
How old was he?
He was only, gosh, I'm trying to look. He was born in 89, died in 2018.
Oh, gosh. 29.
He was a Swedish DJ, remixer, and music producer at the age of 16. Began posting his remixes on electric music forums, led to his first record deal, rose to prominence in 2011 with Levels. Do you remember that? You don't probably remember that song either, but.
Maybe.
And then he got a single, lead single, Wake Me Up, which is what I just read. I mean, he's very young there. Look at he's just a kid,
yeah,
right?
By his. Picture. I don't know him.
He's for whatever reason it committed suicide. I don't know his life story, but I just remember that it was like a shock to people.
He wasn't even 30 yet.
No,
man, that's sad. I hate to hear that.
It said immediate or at first no cause of death was immediately given. They stated there was no criminal suspicion or evidence of foul play. A day before his death, a friend expressed concern about his mental state to his father, Klaus. They later reported he committed suicide using a glass shard to cut himself. So he was beautiful soul, had beautiful music, kind of a flash in the pan, you know, feel to him, though, but died too young. You know what I mean? So. That also reminds us that we, you know, life is precious. Get help out there. These are other reasons why we tell you guys to do that too, right? Yeah. We're always here.
Yeah, it's like that. What was that, Twitch? Like that producer or DJ, whatever, for Ellen. He was only 40, I think. I didn't know anything about him.
The Green Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Back, I think, you know, in October.
They leave, you know, spouses and kids, and they have their something. It's not enough to keep them going, and I just hate that. Hate it, you know.
I have I've always been very fortunate.
Hang on
to
reach
have
out.
Good bosses, and I have a good boss right now. Shout out, his name is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
And he's told many people, he's told me this too, not in a suicidal way, although he would if you needed him for this, but he's always like, reach out to me anytime. I don't care if it's 4 a.m, you know, like, okay, I'm going to take him up on that someday, right? But he will. He's just accessible. And so that's important. I think that's very important. So.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the Bills of the world, right?
That is, my dad was Bill.
Right?
That is sad, but thank you for sharing that at the same time.
It's supposed to be a middle-aged moment, but I kind of took it. I took it down a little.
Now it's depressing.
A little darkish, yeah.
It's mad. Middle-aged depression. Middle-aged depression. No.
It's up from here.
Well, let's get on to the announcements. How about that? Second announcements.
Second part of the announcements. You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. All the social medias, or
don't
at least most of them.
Don't you say it. You say it. Keep going down the...
Okay, keep going. We have an email. You know I want to do that. Email is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's 2 A's. I always have to preface that, right? Or say that. Catch us in our Tuesday terrors, if you can catch us, right? Like hot water.
Like that.
Not hot water. Cold water. No.
Now, is that terrors or terrors?
You can catch cold water.
Catch cold water. Dang.
And you can't tune a
fish. I already messed it up.
That's right. Get the jump.
Oh, man. These are flashbacks that I didn't want to have.
Is that Tuesday terror or terrors? Terrors.
Terrier?
Terrier.
Sound like you said Tuesday terrors.
Arf, arf. I did. Tuesday terror videos.
Or as I like to say, terror.
Bullying. No, I'm just kidding. We offer sponsorships. Individuals and businesses are both welcome. Please email us if you were interested. We are on all podcast apps to listen. Please subscribe, and we would love you to give us a 5-star rating and review. Tell someone you know. Word of mouth means everything.
Yes, it does.
Right? I don't know why I'm pointing
at you. Spread the word. Don't point at me. It's got a nail in it.
Yeah, right? There's 5 of them. We sell merch. Go get you some, right, with our logo on it. Yeah. And we offer segment sponsorships to our episodes. Individuals and businesses, again, are both welcome. Please email us for more information. Yeah, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Good job. Thank you for that.
You don't mean it.
I don't. So I'm going to move over to this guy next. Nate, what do you got?
I feel like we're really close to the end. That's a wrap.
I thought he was going to say.
Well, you really brought it down, too.
But
that was a good, that's a wrap.
Galileo, or what was that again? Not Gal. Dang, I can't remember.
Galileo.
Galileo.
I can't remember what they said. Gardy-loo, right? Gardy-loo. That's it.
Gardy-loo. Oh, man. Well, Nate, I guess you're right. It is close to being done. I really did enjoy that episode, by the way, this topic.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's a good topic.
And, you know, we learned about the name of throwing the bucket of mess, Gardy-loo, and what was it called? The Thunder what?
Thunderbox.
That's awesome.
You've been
thunderboxed.
Yeah. Woo. Hey, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to this episode number 93 and our discussion on Mary King's Close. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.
Did I tell you guys about the Thunderbox?